Holy Father, we stand in awe of you. We thank you for the price of Jesus, for the seal, the Holy Spirit, for the wind of your presence. We thank you for the angels that bear us up and put up with us. Again, today we ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies and grace, counsel, correction, and direction. Yeah, there's your confirmation. Hallelujah. We take dominion and authority over this place. Let this place be known as a memorial unto you. It's called Veterans Memorial, but let it be a memorial unto you. As we bind every principality, power of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places, every spirit under the authority of Satan, territorial spirits of the water, land, air, and sea, we bind every spirit of addiction, perversion, prostitution, homosexuality, every spirit of debt and poverty, deceptions, arrogance, pride, and haughtiness in this area. We bind blind, mute, and deaf, you spirits, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Pull you down, cast you to the pit. Claim the souls in this whole area for Jesus. Claim this park for Jesus and everybody in this park. Lord, we claim their souls and decree it over this area. That the fire of the anointing of the Holy Spirit will come forth from the north, south, east, and west to this park. That all men will be drawn onto your pavilion and onto your tabernacle. In the mighty name of Jesus. As I send forth your word right now to everybody that's here. That by the stripes of Jesus you be made whole, spirit, soul, and body. That the eyes of your understanding be open. That your heart be broken. And that your spirit be surrendered. That your ears listen to what the Spirit says. And that he position you to it's no longer you, but him that lives. With healing, revelation, confirmation, and manifestation of who he is in you and who you are in him. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a river flowing through here, man. Hallelujah. Yeah, go on, lift your hands up and get stupid. It's okay. None worse than a straight Christian, man. Go on, it's okay. You can get drunk. No problem. You know, that's, Joel's place is open, man. No cover charge. He paid the price for you. Oh, glory. Whew. Yes, devil, we're back. He hates when we come back, man, I'm telling you. See, they have to flee. They have to flee. This park's Jesus' park. And everybody in those buildings are going to get saved. Resistance is futile. They'll be assimilated with the Holy Ghost soon. let's see. Praise. Is everybody okay? Good. You know, the Lord is so gracious and so merciful. You know, the Bible says that even while we were idiots, he still tried to rescue us. You know, even while we were sinners. But there's a place where God begins to, you know, change in the area in our life. In other words, it's not that he changes, it's that you change. And as you change, you begin to realize, man, this is a different God than I knew. You know, because most of the time, most people out in the world believe that God is some kind of, you know, statue, hardcore dude that's up there waiting for you to stumble so he can beat you up and kill you and then cast you in the fire like he needs light, you know. But that's not how he is. He's a loving father. And he's merciful, very, very merciful. But one of the things that he says, my own children are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So in this, he says, come to me and learn from me. So there is a process of learning. And not all the time do we like to learn. There's a time when you learn by your mistakes, your circumstances. And the Bible even says that a father rebukes his child. He chastens them. And so many times we want to run from chastening. But we must allow that to happen because God is molding you. And, just like any mother or father, when they begin to walk upright, what they want their child to be is like them. See, Paul said, imitate me, for I imitate the Lord. So God wants us to be like him. And even our parents that are walking upright, our parents want us to be like them, even though some of them didn't really know the right ways, But now that we're parents, and whether it be spiritual parents or physical parents, the Bible says, honor your parents. And this God is our parent now. So what he's saying, honor your father. See, that was a witness. We got confirmation from Rover. If anybody can interpret that, please hold it. But anyways, there's a place now where we begin to really honor God as our Father, not just God, not just an area of he's our provider and he's our deliverer and he's our healer, but he's our daddy. And that's where the word Abba Father comes from. It means daddy, where we have a relationship with him like we've never had with anybody else. The relationship with your heavenly Father should be greater than anybody ever in your life. Anyone. The relationship with him must always be far above your relationship with anyone else. Does everybody understand? It is important. And what's happening right now, the Bible tells us about the 10 virgins, which means that they're saved and washed by the blood, that there are 5 wise and 5 idiots or foolish, right? And we want to stay in the area of being wise. There's some things that I'm going to share about that we've heard before, but the Holy Spirit is just impressing right now because it's one of the ploys of the enemy. One of the things that the Holy Spirit always does is he exposes darkness in our life. And the whole thing is we've got to be able to listen and obey because he's going to make a way of escape for us one way or another. Is everybody okay? Okay. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Yeah. The Bible says that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Sometimes it's hard for us to comprehend that. And we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Whoa. See, in other words, you're on the Lord's lap. You just sit on his lap, man. When you're struggling, crawl there. Get up in his lap and just lift your hands and say, want you. Want you. Want you. It's real simple. My daughter used to do that. Hold you. Hold you. Hold you. When she was, because those are the only 2 words you know. Me, give me, and hold you. Mine. Yeah. Mine. So anyways, In this, because we're blessed with every spiritual blessing and seated with Christ in heavenly places, one of the things the enemy wants to do is remove you from them because he actually fears you. So he's going to do everything he can to remove you from that position of being seated with Christ and blessed with every spiritual blessing. And he uses tactics. And his tactics, the Holy Spirit always exposes. Yesterday we have our Saturday morning meeting, and I'm telling you, he opened Psalm 23. I've never seen him open it like he did yesterday. It's too bad it wasn't recorded. But anyways, it's recorded in heaven. So when you get home, buy the tape. Hallelujah. Whew. Lift your hands up and get another drink. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Is everybody there? Good. Thank you. Verse 11. Come on, let's read it together. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus, or Jesus the Christ. So, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid by Christ Jesus, or Jesus the Christ, the anointing. Go ahead. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by what? Fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And if anyone's work which has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Does everybody see this? Now he says, listen, you cannot build the foundation of Christ because it's already been laid and prepared for you. But you cannot add to it or build on it anything associated that is not of God. Anything that is not of God cannot stand the fire for the reward that you will receive. So there are many people out there that are building and doing things for God, but it's not God's will. There are many things that people are doing that they're saying they're doing it for God, but it's not God. Why? Because God's time is God's will. Everything with God is his time. It's the first thing he created. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. The word beginning means time, because where there's a beginning, there's a what? End. So everything associated with God is associated with his time. And one of the things the enemy wants to do is move you out of time. If he can move you out of God's time, he can remove you from heavenly places. He can disarm you from spiritual blessings. Does everybody understand? Now, the foundation is laid by Christ that came into the world. Now, these are some of the things that he laid the foundation with. It's called the law of his Spirit. The law of his Spirit. Eternal ethics. There are guidelines of operation in his kingdom. And they are predestined offices to perform and express his will. I'll repeat it. There is the law of his Spirit. Eternal ethics. Guidelines of operation in his kingdom. Predestined offices to perform and express his will. So others can pass it on. So what he's saying is that you can love the Lord, but build your own way. In other words, people love God, but they still build their way and not God's way, because they move out of time. In other words, he just said here, you will lose your rewards, but you won't lose your salvation. He says you'll lose the rewards that you built on because it wasn't according to God's will and his time, but you won't lose your salvation. And I'm not saying that the devil can't, depends on how deep you go, you can give your salvation up. Go to Romans 12. Is everybody there? Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your responsibility. In other words, you're to present your spirit, soul, and body to the Lord every morning. So many people run to feed the flesh instead of feed the spirit. They think they know God, but yet they feed the flesh before God. Then they wonder why things happen, and the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and they can't go any further. They're struggling with sickness and disease and poverty and all of these other things that are hindering them because God is not truly first. And verse 2, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So what needs to get done is we need to discern where our thoughts are, don't we? Well, in other words, who told us that? There's three wills of God. There's the good, acceptable, and perfect. And, of course, then there's the will of man. That's why the Bible says that even those who are, the foundation is laid by Christ and they start adding to it, but they're adding to it not according to the will of God, that all of those things they work for will burn, but yet they will be saved. Why? Because it was not the perfect will of God, but it was either good or acceptable will. So everybody understand? Okay, let's go a little further. Ephesians 4. In verse 11. For he himself gave some to be what? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for what? For the equipping of what? The saints, man. For the work of ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. Till we come to what? The unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, that we are so like-minded with God that nothing matters. That's a wonderful place to be. Man, it'd be nice if we could just stay there all the time. It says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. In other words, that you won't be deceived by what anyone says, by what the voice of the stranger says, by your circumstances, but you'll be like-minded with Christ, knowing the truth, the law of his spirit, the ethics of the kingdom, and the operation of his kingdom. Because you're going to know that you know that you know. But have you ever gotten in a circumstance where you knew that you knew that you knew and then found out it was wrong? Whoops. And then disasters. It's like instead of taking the shortcut, you had to go all the way around. Or you had to go around that mountain again. Everybody's heard that saying. Why do you want to go around the mountain again? Didn't you learn on the first time and do the right thing? You know, we hear that. Well, you know, because we touched and agreed with the voice of the stranger. What happened is we became first instead of the Lord. Does everybody get it? Okay, so we see here that God has established these predestined offices that we just talked about is to equip the saints so they're not deceived. So they're not what? Deceived. Yeah. And to train them for their future office and function in the body of Christ. See, there's an office waiting for everyone. Everybody there's an office for. Might be janitorial office. Hey, there's still a throne there. Oh, come on, lighten up. We're not religious here now. You know, whatever God has placed you in, you do with all of your heart. Go to Daniel 12. Daniel chapter 12. Yes. You know, the devil is so sly, I'm telling you. You know. Daniel chapter 12. In verse 3 and 4, would you read it with me? Daniel 12, 3 and 4. It says, those who are what? Come on, say it with me. Those who are wise shall what? Shall shine. Say it again. Those who are wise shall shine. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book until the time of the what? Are we near the end? Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge will increase. This is powerful. Many will run to and fro. What he's warning us, he says, the knowledge is going to increase. And because knowledge is going to increase, many will become anxious. Many will become what? Anxious. That's what the word to and fro represents. They are running. They will go where? To and fro. They'll be anxious. And you know, think about it, because we were born with anxiousness. And anxiousness is one of the fruits of fear. And it has been watered our whole life. Because ever since we've been little, everybody's been coming up to us and say, what are you going to be when you grow up? Well, I don't know. I'm not there yet. So, you know, anxiousness has been a constant thing. We've always been going like, well, what am I going to be when I grow up? You know, I still don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. And I don't care. As long as whatever it is, it'll be pleasing God. It's in his hands, not mine. See, but ever since we've been little, that's all we've been told. And then we've been told, why can't you be like this person or that person? It's all been promoting fear and anxiousness. It's been motivating every area of our carnal life. And now that knowledge is increasing more and more, revelation knowledge is increasing. Technology is increasing tremendously. You know, I remember when there was only black and white TV. I remember when color came in. I watched my first Batman flick in color. Pow, bam, you know. Wow. And it wasn't at my house. I had to go to somebody else's. You know, but technology, you remember when you had the rotary phones? Amen? I mean, look how much technology has increased tremendously, you know. When you used the phone booth more, you know, you had to make sure you had a quarter. Now you got to have a buck, you know. You know, and of course, you know, now there's cell phones and iPods and all kinds of things. And I mean, iPods. iPods coming. That means every pod. So, you know, as we begin to see that technology has actually watered and caused more anxiousness, hasn't it? It's like, I got to do. And here Daniel, almost 2,500 years ago, was told that this would come. Think about this. He was told that there would be such an anxiousness. You know, look what road rage is out there. What is it? Anxiousness. People are murdering, killing, stealing, lying for anxiousness. And what is happening is that the devil is using this to move people out of position, to kick them out of the seat of the Lord is seated in heavenly places, to move them and disqualify them for every spiritual blessing. The devil is not stupid. He is the most cunning beast God created. These are the last days. We're in them. You will see more and more anxiousness than ever before. You'll see more and more fear than you've ever seen before. You'll see more and more want and greed. People are willing to do goofy things on TV. I mean, they'll eat worms to get $100. I mean, think about it. They'll do more than that, but I ain't going there. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3. You know, one of the things that the enemy wants to do with the younger kids is cause them to be anxious. Anxious, you know, and then they follow other people in the area of success. People love to follow people that are successful according to worldly ways. But see, God wants us to follow those who are in the Spirit, because the greatest riches you can have is the presence of God. You know, you want to hang around with somebody that's joyful all the time, not a grumbler or a complainer. You want to hang around with somebody that has a pure heart before God and that God is always first, not their job, not their money. You know, a lot of people like to use God to promote themselves. I've seen it happen over and over. And I've seen the anxiousness and the push to use God. Self-proclamations in the area of who I am in Christ instead of God showing who you are in Christ. Those are areas of anxiousness. You know, one of the things that we must be is humble and let God build the house. The Bible says if we build it in vain, we stumble. If we don't let God build the house, it is built in vain. And one of the warnings right now is that we cannot allow the enemy to bring anxiousness that will try to build your house, Christ's house. Amen. You know what I mean? In vain. Why? Because if we don't build it on his solid rock, and if you don't allow him to build it, it will fall. And great will be its fall. And we're warned. Are you hearing? Good. Are you listening? Good. That's even better. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Would you read it with me? But know this and the what? Here he's talking. I mean, these are all warnings of last days. What's going on? In the last days, perilous times will come. Why are perilous times going to be coming? Because it's going to be difficult to make right decisions. Those are perilous times. Why? Because of anxiousness. Because of the one hand is wealth, riches, fame, power. And the other hand is humbleness, purity, righteousness. The other hand is lust, perversion, and worldliness. And the other hand is eternal life. Christ. Surrender. And a place called waiting. Called patience. Everybody say patience. I get people tell me I ain't praying for patience. Oh, you don't have to. It's coming your way no matter what. So you might as well pray and get in. Get in the river of patience. It's called right next to it. It's the river of death. Glory to God. It says here now, for men will become lovers of who? Self. Why? Anxiousness promotes self. Fear protects self. Anxiousness promotes it. Do you ever get around somebody that's always anxious? And you never know what they're going to do next, do you? Either do they. They're going to do it, though. They'll go, yeah, 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 yeah. They'll agree with you and everything you got to say. Yeah, yeah, all right, yes. You never know what they're going to do. The only one that knows what they're going to do is God. So they'll be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. In other words, they use God to become takers and not givers, unholy, unloving. They have a form of love, but the only love that they look for is what can be given to them, because love to them is materialism. Love to them is materialism. In other words, the Bible says God loves us, so he chastens us. So when you're chastened, it's an honor. Don't run from God's chastening or correction. It's an honor to be chastened. What's he doing? I love you. Come here. You know, in the flesh, when our parents said they loved us and they kicked our butt, it was a hard thing to accept, wasn't it? How could you love me and beat me, man? But see, because we weren't willing to listen, there had to be some kind of reward. Man calls it punishment. God calls it correction. I tell everybody when they're in jail. In fact, most of the time when I go to the jail and minister, which we go three times a week or more, five times sometimes, whatever, you know, we see a lot of people that have come through our congregation or whatever, and they're in jail. And I say, well, welcome home. And they say, what do you mean? I said, well, this is where you wanted to be, isn't it? This is where you want to be. When you made that choice, you knew where you were going. This is where you want to be. That's where most people end up, isn't it? See, when you disobey God, you fall into the captivity. First captivity you fall into is in your mind. The enemy has access to take you captive in your mind. And unless you break free from that, you usually end up in jail or in a hospital or dead. Is everybody okay? Y'all got real quiet over there. Everybody's like, yeah, I've been there. Okay. And verse 3. Unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, they will confess you that they love God. Yeah, man, I really love the Lord. I wouldn't do anything to harm the Lord. But actually, they're loving themselves more. And they're loving the pleasure that is bringing fulfillment to them. Or they would fall in the divine order of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying his power. In other words, they can't trust the Lord, even though they confess it. And from such people it says what? Turn away. Turn away. It doesn't say not to disown them as a brother. It says turn away. Why? Because if you promote it, then the blood's on your hands when they end up in problems. Because if God is chasing them and turning away from them, so should we. Now listen to something. Most people will criticize. They'll say things because they don't have an understanding of the true word. They don't read the whole word. They only take what they want out of the word. And they use it. But the Bible says it's precept upon precept. And without the Holy Spirit, you don't have full understanding. You have religion. Because the Bible tells us that the anointing teaches us all things. Most people come against things they can't understand. They call it a cult. We've been called a cult in many areas. But they have no idea that they're deceived by the occult themselves. Why? Because they can't see. They can't hear. There's no revelation from the throne room of God. The only thing they know is they get counsel from a person. And accept opinions. Opinions will kill you. Well, what do you think about this? Well, why don't you go to the throne room of God and go get true counsel from the Lord? Or go to those who God has put over you and get the counsel of God so that you'll know what's what. Instead of opening thy mouth and causing corruptible seeds. In the last days, self will be first. Right? There'll be unthankfulness. There'll be users of God instead of givers. There'll be a form of loving God, but not willing to submit to his way. Why? Because of anxiousness. I want you to understand that anxiousness and fear is behind this all. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. And now we're sharing things about last days. Just right from Daniel and what he said. Verse 18. Little children, it is the what? Last hour. Here we go again. And you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come by which we know that it is the last hour. And we've read this before. It says that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Well, let me tell you, if you know all things, then you wouldn't have gone out from us. In other words, you wouldn't have fallen out of God's will. Now, he's talking about the spirit of Antichrist. Now, the spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of rebellion. It is witchcraft. The principalities and powers of darkness are praying against you all the time. See, most people don't understand the fullness of Satan's kingdom. In fact, many people don't even believe in Satan's kingdom. They don't even believe in a devil. It's because the devil has them. And they don't believe it. They just believe that Jesus paid the price and we're all going to heaven and we don't have to cast out a devil and sickness is just a part of life and demonization is just a part of life and fear is a part of life and mental problems and schizophrenia and bipolar, well, that's just a part of life. No. It's a demonic force that hinders mankind. You know, truly, just out of the circumstance, and I'm not against denominations. I don't care. But there wouldn't be denominations if everybody heard from God. There's many times I'll ask somebody, what's your faith? Well, my faith is Baptist or Catholic or Protestant or Pentecost or... That's not a faith. That's an organization. You are Christians. You are Christ-like. That's what your faith is. Your faith is in Christ, not an organization. It's in a living organism called the body of Christ with the Christ Jesus as the head. But I'm telling you, this is where man was anxious because anxiety or anxiousness always tries to prove or improve God. So we see here that the spirit of Antichrist promotes rebellion, doesn't it? It also promotes fear. And the fruit of the fear you'll find is anxiousness. Now, I want you to begin to look at the terrorist organizations. These, if you haven't seen the DVD, which has been sent to most homes, it's called Obsession. You can see how these children are raised in fear. Fear, total fear. And it's promoted hatred and murder and killing. And I encourage everyone, if you haven't seen the DVD of Obsession, see it. It's excellent. And if you haven't seen it and you don't have it, I think we have some. But I encourage you to see it because it brings the reality. And when you begin to see how demonic forces really operate in this area of promoting fear, promoting anxiousness, moving God's children out of position and using those that don't know God or under demonic forces to kill those who are trying to walk with God. I mean, look at how the whole terrorism organization is. Their whole purpose is operated by fear. They want to kill all of mankind to rule the world. And here is their faith. You either believe in what we believe in or die. Well, that's good faith. That's all a part of a ritual. There is no relationship with the true God. They serve demonic forces that promote evil, hatred, and division. Does everybody understand? And that's just a part. Remember, Daniel said in anxiousness, or they will run to and fro, won't they, in the last days because knowledge will increase. And you see the anxiousness all over now, even in our own government. Look at what's going on right now. The economic situation. You know what it's promoting? Fear. I mean, they can get up behind every pulpit there is in the government and say, well, you know, we're really working it out. It's got no problem. But people are still fearful because they're seeing the result of the mistakes of the government. That's why you're not to put your trust in man. See, what the government tries to do is promote a welfare mentality so that you rely on them. And that brings bondage. Does everybody understand it? Bondage. It brings bondage. Man, I know that in New York at one time, people can get $2,000 a month just to become a heroin addict. They provide everything for you, even the methadone. So you go from heroin to methadone. The heroin you kick, the methadone you can't. And you stay on the dope. So they give you the dope. They give you food stamps and a place to live. And some cash money. That's what the government wants to do. Not all the government. Only one party of the government. And I'm not going there. But remember, we want to put in officials. Number one, there are ethics involved. The ethics are associated with the Bible. With the Bible. I saw a debate last night on TV. It wasn't really a debate. It was just two pastors. I don't know if you saw it or not. And one was voting for one guy, one was voting for the other. And the one that was voting for, the one guy was using the Bible in the area of ethics, abortion, which is murder, same-sex marriage, and all of these other things that he was using associated with the Bible. And the other pastor was saying, well, it depends how you interpret the scriptures. Man, if I could have stuck my hand through that TV, I'd have gave that guy a Holy Ghost slap and called him an idiot. I don't know how Huckabee could sit there. He was probably sitting on his hands. But anyways, it's how you interpret the scriptures. Why? Because you haven't even read them, you idiot. And you're up there, a pastor, with all of these people under you, giving your opinion of things when you can't even back it up with the Word of God. And this guy was gone. But he was well-dressed. I mean, he was well-dressed. I can tell you, he outdressed the other dude, I can tell you that. Well-dressed. You knew, very intellect. Spoke very fluent. Very pretty. You know. The problem is pretty words were deceptive. They were not truth. Does everybody understand? So what happens here, let's keep going. Let's go to Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. In verse 1. Let's read this together, okay? Now the serpent was a more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. The serpent. You know who the serpent is, right? He's Satan. And it's also a representation of his kingdom. But Satan is the king of his kingdom. He is the serpent. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it. Now we know that the first mistake here was she communicated with the serpent. Because the Bible tells us that the Lord said to her, listen, and he said to Adam and Eve, he said, listen, don't go near that tree. Don't eat it. Don't have fellowship with it, all right? It's got nasty fruit, even though it looks good. So while Adam was out fishing, Eve went over and talked to the tree. Well, see, every time she walked by the tree, serpent would say, psst, yay, over here. And she'd go, nope. And she did it for a while, but then one day, she turned. And when she turned, the serpent said, hey, I got something better. Did really God tell you you couldn't eat from this tree? Come on. What's he holding from you? What's he holding from you that I have that he doesn't want? Don't you think that there's something I have he doesn't want that can maybe improve your life? Give you a little wisdom? Maybe give you strength? Oh, how about things of God that you don't even know about? Wow. Doesn't this look wonderful? Look at, I mean, one bite of this and you'll be fulfilled. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. What was he trying to produce? Anxiousness. Come on. Come on. What I have here. And he was promoting fear, trying to impart in her that what he had was what God was holding from her. And this is an opportunity. Don't miss it. See, you walk by today, you may miss it. I might not have this tomorrow. But if you get this today, it's all yours. There's more knowledge in this today. Tomorrow, some might seep out. But what I have for you today is wonderful. And she couldn't resist. Now look at what happens. In verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you're not going to die. In other words, he called God a liar. He negated and disqualified her, moved her out of every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Do you understand this? He convinced her to sell her birthright for what he had for her today. How did he convince her? Because he convinced her that something was better on the other side that she hasn't seen yet. that God was holding something from her. For God knows in that day you eat it, your eyes will be open. Yeah, it'll be open, all right. But they'll be closed to the spirit realm. See, he did not want her to see him anymore. He did not want her to know how he operated. He knew he couldn't get to Adam, so he had to use her to get to Adam. Remember, Adam wasn't there. He was out fishing or something. He was out naming more animals. I don't know. He could have been riding Moby Dick. Who knows? You know, he's out there cruising. It says, for you know in that day that your eyes will be opened and you'll be like what? You'll be like what? God, knowing good and evil. Wow. But he never told her that she had become evil. He said you'd know about it, but he never told her that now you would become evil. You would become good, but you would lose righteousness. You would lose eternal life. He didn't tell her that. So she ate of it and took, didn't she? Now look at, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eye, and it was, tree was desirable to make one wise, pride of life, she took of it and ate, and she also gave it to her husband. And everything fell. Kaboom. Now look at this. I love this part. So verse 7, so the eyes of both of them were open. They were open to the natural realm and closed to the spirit realm. They were now blinded. They were now what? Blinded. They could no longer see the things of God. They could no longer comprehend them. They became slaves to darkness. Satan was released from his prison, which Adam held the keys to. And Satan now held the keys to Adam and Eve and everyone else that would come into this world and imprison them in darkness and blindness. That's why you must be born again. So everybody understand? Listen, anytime you want to hand the keys back to Satan, he'll take them. So the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings because they were afraid. And they what? Heard the voice, the sound of the Lord walking in the garden of the cool day. Why? They heard him, but they could not see him anymore because they were blinded from these things. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called to Adam and said, "Where are you, Adam?" Like he didn't know where he was. And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden," because he couldn't see him. "And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And the Lord said, "Who told you that? Who told you you were afraid? And who told you to hide from me? And who told you you were blinded? Who told you you couldn't see me, but you can only hear me? Who did this to you? Did you eat of the tree? Did you come in agreement with the voice of the stranger? Did you turn your keys over back to him?" "Yes, Lord." See, now, it wasn't God's time to go back and get the keys from Satan, because God had to come into the flesh, into the natural realm, to go back into hell and pay the price of all mankind to go into hell and get the keys now and then restore. So during this whole period of time, only by the grace of God would God send his spirit on prophets that would speak the truths and the oracles of God. And there was a few righteous men, not many. We know Job was one. We know Noah was one. And the rest of them were the prophets when the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. So we see here now that this whole ordeal and the loss of everything started because of the devil promoting fear and anxiousness that God was holding something back, and that is increasing more and more. People are selling their birthrights to become successful. People are selling their birthrights for lust. People are selling their birthrights for fame. People are selling their dignity, their birthright of the presence of God, for the presence of evil. and not even knowing it. Are y'all okay? What did it happen? They agreed. They ate. Oh, this is the cool part. Come on, let's go there. Are you ready? Go to verse 11. And he said to him, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of what I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, now check this out. I love this. The man said, what did he say? He said, what? The woman. And don't blame it on me. It's not my fault. It's the woman. The woman whom you gave me. You know, the woman you gave me. It's your fault, man. Come on, you see how the serpent, that anxious, the thing, the area of just where the devil says, well, you know, come on, you, God's holding back something from you, and you got to hear more. And because they ate it, they came in agreement. What did they begin to do? They began to blame everybody else and not take their own responsibility. Well, I mean, you know, everybody's innocent in jail. You know, I was there, a wrong place at the wrong time. Right. No, you were at the right place at the right time. You're just reaping what you sowed. And so he said, the woman you gave to me, she gave me the tree and I ate it. I didn't know she deceived me. You know that woman you gave me? Come on, Lord, this is your fault. Why couldn't you give me the right woman? Why couldn't you give me the right husband? Hello? Why couldn't you give me the right job? Everybody's blaming God, right? Well, Lord, I prayed. Yeah, but you didn't wait. Hello? Okay. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this you've done? I love this. And the woman said, it's the serpent. He deceived me. The Lord's going, well, wait a minute. Hold on here. What about what I told you? Well, it's the serpent. He deceived me. No. What did I tell you? Don't go there. But Lord, what did I tell you? Don't go there. You wouldn't have been deceived if you wouldn't have gone there. Now take your responsibility and repent, because there will be a consequence. Hello? This is what's happening right now. Don't be anxious. Be careful. Let's go to Proverbs 3. And don't blame your pastor, okay? Don't blame nobody else, man. You went there. We have a wonderful teaching called Don't Go There. And who told you that? And waiting in God's room. Waiting room of God or something like that. But today, we're talking about waiting for the best. See, the devil will try to deceive you and think he has the best. But you must wait for God. Why settle for wrong, worst, or good when God can give you the best? Everybody say, waiting for the best. I'm waiting for the best. Praise God. We'll see. Verse 5, Proverbs 3. Read it with me. Trust in the Lord with what? Not some of your heart. Not part of your heart. Not with a little of your heart, but with all of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own.
Oh, hallelujah.
See, your own understanding will say, well, the tree looks very nice. Well, maybe I should just go over there and water it. Well, one fruit won't bother me. There can't be that many calories in it. Just one little bite. It only takes one bite of the serpent, and his venom is in you. And unless you take the antidote known as repentance and turn your way from it, that venom will go through your blood and blind you, deceive you, move you out of position, and you'll end up back in the cycle. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, what? Acknowledge Him. It doesn't say do it all. It says acknowledge Him in all your ways. Then you, what do? You wait. Acknowledge. And it says, and He'll direct your path. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Be held to your flesh and strength to your bones. The last day enemy will deceive people. And it will convince that they're trusting in God, but they're not waiting. See, the last day enemy will convince individuals that they're waiting on God, but they're really not. Because while they're waiting on God, they're trying to promote what they're trying to wait on God. Does everybody understand that? Yeah. If you're waiting on the Lord, your only purpose is to plant seed. But it doesn't mean that you are to go out and begin to build what you're waiting on. Amen. God will bring it to you. You don't have to. In other words, you don't have to go out and start searching for all kinds of things. God will bring it to you. Your only purpose is to plant seed. And then when it comes, then you get confirmation, because not every seed is of God. How many of y'all know that there's deceptive seed? Amen. Then you get confirmation to know that this is the right seed or not. The Bible says in the multitude of counsel, there's safety and wisdom. And there's too many independent spirits that are doing their own thing and not waiting on God and getting multiple counsel. Are you hearing? Now, I'm not talking about opinion. I'm not saying going to somebody and getting their opinion. I'm talking about counsel, office counsel, qualified office official counseling, and waiting on God. Are you hearing? You'll always get confirmation. God does not send you without confirmation. If you're not sent without confirmation, hallelujah. That's all I can say. Repent and turn. Listen, let me give you one of the things that happens is, do you remember the prodigal son? What did the prodigal son do? There was two sons, right? They both had an inheritance. One said, man, I want mine now. And the other one said, nothing. I'm here to serve. I'm here to give what you've given me. Thank you. He was grateful. The one son said, I'm not moving out of here. I'm going to serve. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to be doing. The other one said, come on, let me have my inheritance. And he took his inheritance and he went into the world. Well, it wasn't God's time. And he fell, lost all of his inheritance, ended up in the pig pen. And he kept saying, well, man, you know what? My servants of my father are better off than I am. And he came home. And when he came home, they threw a party that he came home. But you know what he had to go through before he came home? He had to go around a big mountain. It could have taken years. We don't know. It doesn't say how long it took for the prodigal son to come home. But he had plenty of money. He had a large amount of money, of wealth. And he tried to buy happiness. He tried to buy the will of God. But he couldn't. He was out of the will of God. But he never forgot where he came from. Many times, and I'm sure God was saying, come on home, get right. But then he would just buy more. Buy more. Because see, some people try to buy happiness. They try to buy the will of God. They try to do, why? Because of the anxious spirit. Because the devil is always trying to tell us that there's something better. He's trying to move us out of position. And so he came home, didn't he? But such wasted time. Wasted time. Let's go to Philippians 4. Everybody okay? Are you getting it? Use it. You know, you got to think about it then, you know. Because even though the father accepted him back, right? The father accepted him back. Do you think he put him in position right away? No. No. Then he had to go through all kinds of stuff to get back in position, to earn the trust of the Father. You know, many of us have done this already once. Why do it again? Philippians chapter 4. I know that we're going a little bit deeper today than usual on a Sunday, but there's a reason. It's a warning. Remember Friday night there was a warning given. A warning. Anxiousness. Moving God's people out of position. It's a ploy of the enemy. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6, what's it say? Be anxious for what? Everything?
Nothing.
Be anxious for nothing.
Nothing.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It doesn't say make your request be made known to God and go do it. And it says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. And I'm going to close it. Psalm 40. Come on, you know those times when you could have sworn? I mean, you knew that you knew that you knew that this was God. Man, you knew it. I don't care what anybody tells me. This is God. No, I didn't get any confirmation. I just know. No, I didn't wait. I just moved. I know it. So you bought the good, and you didn't wait for the best. So you married the good, and you didn't wait for the best. Hello? Does everybody understand? So you invested in the good, but you didn't wait for the best. Well, we all make mistakes. Sure. And all things can work to the good. Yes. But now they've got to work to the good. When you could have had the best instead of having to work to the good. Does everybody understand? This is where the enemy wants to bring us so that we always have to backtrack. In other words, he always wants to put us back so we have to start over again. Put us back so we have to start over again. That's what he wants to do to us. And then what happens is when we start over again, we're looking back going, oh man, then regret comes, then bitterness comes, and unforgiveness comes, and all of these other things come. Then fear comes again. Fear from going back, but then what happens is he uses fear that he says, if you miss God, you're in trouble. Then you grab anything. And the thing is he comes deceptively. Because that familiar spirit will come and pretend he's God. And he'll move you out of position. Cause you to step out of every spiritual blessing and your seat with Christ Jesus. Psalm 40, is everybody there? Let's read it. Verse 1. I waited. I what?
Waited.
I waited patiently for the Lord. The word patience here means also endure. In other words, you're enduring. Why? Because the enemy's going to come up to you and tell you. He's going to, while you're waiting on God and waiting for confirmation, he's going to try to get you to move. Move out of position. Come on, you might miss God. Well, if it's truly God, you won't miss. Come on. You don't need any counsel. Just do it. Look, you know the word. You know Jesus. You know this. You know that. You. You know what that promotes? I. And then the end result is, ay, how did I get in this? It says, I waited patiently for the Lord after my prayer and supplication. And he inclined to me and he heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit. Obviously, he fell into one. Why? Because he didn't wait the first time. So this time he said, I'm waiting patiently. Listen. Never mind, I won't go there now. And he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he what? set my feet upon a rock again, and establish my steps. He put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to what? Lies. Why? Because that spirit come up to you and lie to you. Didn't he just lie to Eve? Lied to her. Told her something was better. I'm telling you right now, it is important that we discern these things so we don't move out of God's time. God's what? Time. Verse 5, many, O Lord God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be more than can be numbered. See, now we can hear again. Does everybody see this? Now we can what? Hear again. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears you've opened. Woohoo! Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. Do you know your name is in the book? I delight to do your will. Man, his tune totally changed. Why? Because he had to learn to wait. He had to learn to what? Wait. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Hallelujah. What did he do? He waited for the best. He waited for what? The best. Not the good, not the acceptable, and not the deceptive. He waited for the best. See, if you're seated with in heavenly places with Christ Jesus and every spiritual blessing is available to you, why would you wait? Why would you wait for the devil to come and offer you the good? See, the devil always comes first. Hello? He always makes this wonderful offer. It's usually the first voice that I triple check. Be careful of the first voice. Hello? Be careful. Always check the fruit of what you're hearing. If you can't see it all the way through and confirm it, then it ain't God. It's not God. If it's going to try to improve God, you know it's not God. God never interrupts himself. Never. He follows everything through, and he became the example of going to the cross. Please, don't fall into regret of decisions made today. Wait on the Lord. And if you've made decisions already that you regret, repent. Ask for his forgiveness. Get counsel. Ask the Lord what he wants you to do. Get in position. Don't be a user of God and a taker of God. Be a giver to him. First thing you give him is your life. Give him your life and let him build your house and establish it. All things can work to the good, but like I said, they'll have to work to the good. If you've already made vows and commitments, those are certain things you can't break. Now you have to work things to the good. Use it for your training. There's nothing you can do. What you sow is what you reap. The whole thing now is to outrun some of the reaping by sowing correctly. Okay? It doesn't mean God's mad at us. It doesn't mean he's forsaken us. Now you really need some wisdom. You need the presence of God. And you need his counsel. Lord, we thank you for your word today, and we are honored and blessed. We thank you for exposing the enemy. And we all stand in agreement of repentance, because we've all fallen short of your glory, Lord. We've all blown it. We've all made goofy vows and commitments. And we truly repent, Father. We sever every emotional attachment with all of these vows and commitments and everything that was not of you. We repent for agreeing with the voice of the stranger. And starting over again, we thank you. At least we can start over again. For some have not had that opportunity. So Lord, we ask that you'd move mightily in our lives and in our hearts. And visit us in dreams and visions, establishing us for your glory. Setting us free from these entanglements. And allowing your kingdom to manifest. That in everything we do would bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.